call the Board of Supervisors for Gage County meeting to order for Wednesday, March 18, 2026 at 8:48 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation. Adams, Claybaugh, Haxby, Tiemann, Lytle, Dorn, and Juergens. A first consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held March 4, 2026. Approve all claims through March 18, 2026 in the amount of $683,286.19. Accept claim number 2603-000172 to Johnny's Welding, Inc., in the amount of $20.80 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve utility permit number 1344 to A&G Farms. A&G Farms will be installing a new electrical service for irrigation on Southwest 72nd Road, just south of Aspen. A&G will contract out bore crew to bore under Southwest 72nd Road, approximately 1,245 feet south of Aspen. Contractor will bore a 2.5-inch diameter by 84-inch deep line under Southwest 72nd Road. All other work is on the private property located east of Section 23 and west of Section 24, Township 6 North, Range 5 East, Claytonia Township. I would ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented unless there are any items you'd like to pull off.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens. Second by Haxby. Any discussion? Please vote. 7-6 in favor. Mr. Dorn stepping out. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 2603-000172 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $20.80. This brings the total amount of claims paid through March 18, 2026 to $683,306.99.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Adams. Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor, with Juergens abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items or the Board of Supervisors. I'd like to welcome everyone that is here, folks running for office, the public, even the sheriff.
Good morning, sir.
It's always nice to see you in this situation. Committee reports. Building and ground winter lights. Mr. Dorn. Mr. Dorn's not here.
Dave's here.
Mr. Jones.
Good morning. Mr. Dorn must have thought I had bad news this morning. On the east ramp, the new sliding door, they said that it was supposed to be installed in March, and they're still planning on March. It's just going to be towards the end of March. I am getting some prices on new floodlights for the courthouse lawns. They're aging out. I've had a couple go out, and it wasn't too noticeable, but now I just had a third one go out also. So they must be at the end of their life. Monty Merkel was... we did put up signs. Monty paid for these signs. It was for Down Syndrome Day on March 21st. So on the south side of the building, you'll see it says 321 for March 21st and WDSD for World's Down Syndrome Day. And those signs are reusable. So I think that'll be the plan. And I was going to talk to him also about if we do get the new floodlights, there might be the possibility of trying some different lenses to change the color of the building also for that. We're working on, I would like to apply for a tree grant. We did discuss that. Rex gave me Dean Cole's number. I think I'm going to contact him and get some information from him also. And so that would include removal of trees and planting new trees. Extension office, we would like to paint that building, so I'm going to get some bids on that this spring.
Do you want to paint it?
No. Adam would. No. And then the dishwasher for detention center did come in, and Adam and I did install that. I think it's about ready to go. So that's what I had.
Anything else for Dave? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
There's a sign-up sheet on the console there for the upcoming public hearing for special use permit 2026, which would be an ag business, just up here to your left of the microphone. Equalization, we had a brief update from Patty. I just texted the city real quick. They also thought those lots would be tax exempt. There were tax sheets sent to the city on multiple properties, so they said they will be visiting with our assessor to see if those should be tax or exempt. I was under the same assumption as the city, evidently. But she'll be working through the rest of those, and those are due Thursday, tomorrow, for her to send up to the state for approval. Finance and insurance, Mr. Jervins.
Large ticket item, Advanced Correctional Health Care, jail, on-site medical services, $10,972.83. Applied Connective Technology, security, IT, $11,838.40. City of Wymore, quarterly EMS services, $10,000. Davis Design Relational Services, $15,376.76. Office Solutions, Applied Equipment, $10,608.45. Region 5 Systems, Funding, Administration Fees, $13,052.12. Washington County Sheriff, Boarding Inmates, $12,600. Wood Aikens, Professional Legal Services, $31,346.95. Manelli Wagner Associates, Engineering Consulting, $66,582.92. Sapp Brothers Petroleum, Fuel Oil Antifreeze, $23,159.63.
Thank you, sir. Human Resources, Employee Relations, we do have ongoing negotiations with the FOP through our attorneys. Law Enforcement Emergency Management, Mr. Lytle.
Lisa, you got anything?
As she's coming up, I will say there's an open house coming up this weekend at the jail. Do you want to touch on that, Mr. Lytle? After?
Yes, well.
Okay.
Perfect. Good morning, everybody. I just want to recap just a little bit about the fire activity that we had on last Thursday. I know I briefed you all at our committee meeting. We had 7 call-ins, 7 reports on fires, of which 4 were very large. And out of that, with all of our mutual aid, we had 11 organizations or 11 fire departments. We had 5 mutual aids from Kansas and also 3 in 33 areas. And then our partnerships that we have built throughout the years and the businesses and so forth, we had 26 agencies that assisted us with those 4 fires. Just keep in mind that doesn't account for all the farmers, you know, producers and everyone else that was helping with that particular day's activities. So then on Friday afternoon, we deployed a team from 3 and 33's task force. A crew of 15 individuals from 7 different departments, and then they returned. They had a 48-hour operational period of time, and they returned Sunday morning. So it's possible they may be deploying back. They were deployed to the Cottonwood Fire, and so under Taylor McHenry for Gage County, and then Fairbury Judd Stewart were the command officers for that. So as we move into next week, we're going into Severe Weather Awareness Week, and so Wednesday is the day that we'll be sounding those sirens. We'll be testing, and that'll be coordinated through the National Weather Service as well. And proud to say, though, that on Thursday, we will actually have a little third grader from Southern Elementary by the name of Sadie Repstonik. who's going to be honored with one of her posters. And so we'll finish that week off. So other than that, that's all I have at this time. You'll be hearing from Planning and Zoning again when the hearing comes up. So unless you have questions for me. So.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yep.
Good morning, all. As the chairman indicated earlier, we will be having an open house this coming Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 5 in the afternoon, encouraging people to come out and go through the facility and see kind of what we have and answer some questions as best we can and kind of move on from there. So, that all I had. Anything else to touch on?
Just make sure that we talk just a little bit before you leave.
Yep.
Okay. So we got everything covered for Saturday.
Okay.
With that tour, just so everybody, as you said, we have it the 21st and 22nd, 1 to 5. Trying to keep the tours about 20 to 30 minutes long. We're going to try to get them on a 15-minute cycle so people can show up at any time to come see the jail. No sign-up needed. Just show up, park in the jail parking lot or by the courthouse before entering. They're going to be going in a secure facility, so make sure they leave all the things out of their pockets in their vehicle, because there will be a security check prior to entering the facility. And then just as a note for people that are coming is that this will include stairs. So if you can't do stairs, it won't be accessible to people that cannot handle the stairs, because there are stairs just about everywhere you go through that jail. So and then when they're done, we'll have a survey at the end for people to take so we can get more public input after they've gone through the jail.
Mm-hmm. So our hope is to see a lot of people from the community show up to walk through and see the jail, and so it's necessary to keep this moving at 20 to 30 minutes on a tour. And like Emily said, it is an older facility, and there's a lot of different levels. From every place you go, you've got one or two stairs to several stairs, so a lot of movement up and down as you move through the facility. And very important that if you have cell phone, pocket knife, any of those items, they would be left in your vehicle before you come in for a tour through the facility. So looking forward to a good crowd on Saturday.
Anything else, Mr. Lytle?
Pens and the like, yes.
And when we're done, too, or before or after at some point, I will try to do basically the same tour that we're giving today in a video form, but as much as I like I'm probably the more techie person on this board, but even that will take me time. So we'll try to get a digital one up eventually.
Nope. Nothing else unless Gus has already sat down, so I'm taking that as the clue that he has nothing else.
All right. Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens. Ms. Axby.
We're going to be opening or calling for armor coat bids here shortly. We're going to be opening box court bids today, awarding last week's. We are going to start hot patching again soon, and we went on our road tour on Monday of the north half of the county, looking at different projects across the county. Found some really fun roads that Mark immediately claimed were not county roads, but we had a lot of fun. Got to see the projects in person, and that was really helpful especially for grant writing and working on different projects. I appreciated that tour, and we'll be going on the south half next week.
Monday, 1:30?
8:30
Monday.
8:30 Monday.
Outstanding.
And then I did get those. Do you want me to touch on the grants that got submitted?
Yeah.
Last time. I did get the grant submitted for this next round of CPF and CDS applications. So Gage County's application this year, we took the lead on a joint application with the Ag Society for new facilities at the fairgrounds. And then also just I helped submit one with Beatrice Rural for a fire hall, and then also Claytonia for a well. Just kind of trying to keep it simple this year since we've got a lot of projects to button up with roads.
With that, I would invite Mr. Garnett to come up and give a brief overview of Gage County economic development over the years, and he also has a check for the county. He told me it's not for me, it's for the county. Good morning, Paul.
Where should I go? Right here?
Yeah, if you could come up there, that way you'll be on the record.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I would imagine that a lot of people stand here and ask for money, and only a few want to give you money, so I'm here to do that, but I'll share with you what happened here. I was a longtime member and a chairman for many years of the economic development organizations here in Beatrice, which the first one, I believe, was around 1977, Gage County Industrial Corporation, GCIC. What happened there is the city bought land for economic development, industrial development, which was against Nebraska laws, and the Supreme Court forced the city into an alternative. So we created GCIC, raised money through industrial development revenue bonds from private citizens, and then bought out the land and then started economic development. Later on, it became Gage County Economic Development, GCED, had several people there. I was a longtime board member, chairman. So what happened recently is I got contacted by Pinnacle Bank and said there's a balance here under GCED, and my name was the only person that they knew of on the account. So what I'm going to give you today is not only the check, but then just the record of the bank deposits, et cetera. So whoever wants that, there's an accounting for that. But the accounts were orphaned, basically, and I never got statements over these last 15 years. I don't know where they went, and I don't know why they didn't signal more of a red flag to the bank to try to reach out, but they did reach out. So thanks to Pinnacle Bank for doing that. And so I believe you're aware of resolution number 7713, which was jointly signed by the city and the county. And so I'm here to present a check of, and there's a financial discrepancy of one penny. The total of the two accounts came to 23 cents, and so I thought I could add a penny, and I understand compound interest, so I didn't do that. I thought maybe I'd take the penny, and I didn't do that. So I contacted Mayor Morgan and Chairman Thiemann at the same time, and the first one to reply gets the penny, so the County of Gage gets $15,973.12.
We got the extra penny.
You got
that's the main thing.
holy cow, so Thiemann responded first.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, because he responded in first.
Paul, thank you for your efforts over the years. You made a change out there. You made a change the whole community.
That's the thing.
I had some good things.
When I was talking to Paul, all of us at the table that are involved with stuff realize how he's been involved, both in front of the camera and behind the camera over the years. And our new director of GCD, it's really hard to get to GDC. With GDC, I visited with Caleb, too, to make sure he knows that you are a resource for him in the area, but both in who you know and what you know. So it's always nice to be able to say thank you. And sitting on this side of the table, I do want to tell you thank you for what you have done. Our industrial park, 77, I wasn't even crawling yet, but I will say that industrial park, you touched each of those deals along the way. And although it's a few years ago, we do still remember that. I mean, whether it's getting stuff set up for development, getting the utilities out there,
or actually moving businesses out there, which have been there for decades now. I do want to say thank you from the people of Gage.
Thank you. Yeah, I've enjoyed doing it, and I have been involved in closing or soliciting most of those projects out there over those years, and it's been fun.
And just more recently, on the far north end of the industrial park, the Hendricks Turkey Hatchery. Yep. You were intimately involved with that one as well, and that's not so long ago. That's just in the last 5 years.
Yeah, maybe a little longer, but yeah, that's part of the group that I've affiliated with, and when they were looking for a site, I go, I know a place. I will mention one thing, though, that I'll be coming back for, and that is I'm also the chairman now of Rare Earth Salts, which is a nice company on the north side of Beatrice, and I promise you we're under the radar in a lot of things that are happening. We've been working on some negotiated contracts, some pretty significant feedstocks, and the structure of which we have construction thoughts and ideas of a very large building being built, and the concept of a campus is foremost in my mind. So don't sell any land around us, please, until we get back to you. But I think we've got some exciting things to share there coming up very soon. But an overview of that company, if you do or don't know what it is, I'll take one more minute, Chairman, if I may, on Absolutely. Rare earth salts. And that is rare earth elements are very important in guided missiles and cell phones, computers, and a host of other things, but many, many military applications. But the weird thing is they're called rare earth elements or rare earth minerals, but they're not rare. They're abundant, but they're extremely difficult to extract. They're in iron ore, they're in copper, they're in magnesium, but they're hard to pull out, these 17 elements. Dr. Brewer should be given a tremendous amount of academic credit because he has scientifically created a way to extract them that is cheaper than what the Chinese are doing, significantly so, and we're getting a lot of attention from the Department of Defense, from a lot of billion-dollar companies that optimistically, I think this concept of a campus that I just mentioned could be something that could be real. So that's what we're working on now.
Very exciting news there, and a fantastic company that could have easily been pulled to one of the coasts had it not been for...
They've already been solicited for that, yeah.
For some of the people involved, Mr. Garnett, Dr. Brewer, some of those locals here.
Is there a correlation with Elk Creek over here with River?
Zero.
Zero, okay, that's what I...
Yeah.
Zero connection, but some of the same elements, I assume.
Well, yeah, there's of these 17 elements, which I'm not a chemist, and I couldn't begin to go through them, but they have documented reserves in Pawnee County. It's a very, very difficult, costly procedure to do a mine. So if you've ever been to Wyoming or Colorado and seen these massive, massive mines where they go down hundreds of feet and large, large equipment, I think... I've read, and I don't want to be quoted as saying I know this number, but I think I've read that it takes over $1 billion to get that mine operational. Over a billion, and I don't know how much more. That's big boy money. I mean, that's not local investor money or whatever. For Rare Earth, we successfully raised money back in the day without having to have that kind of financing. Now we're having financing opportunities of tens of millions coming to us that we can filter through. So where you're positioned is sometimes pretty critical. I hope that's a successful place, but it is a massive operation from a cost standpoint. And I don't know the economics of mining. I know the economics of extraction, and they're pretty good. What else can I answer?
I don't have a question. I want to step back to what we started with, and I appreciate the rare earth thing that's going on because that's in today's world. That's new technology, new business, new jobs that are exciting for our area. Yeah. So that's important. But I wanted to step back to you and just say thank you for putting this to bed. It's been a long time that GCED's been out there, you know, and it's thankfully we had some way, somehow, and somebody that was able to, you know, complete this transaction and finish this and move forward with what we have today.
I reacted to it. I didn't initiate it.
Right. You know, I also want to say thank you personally because 20 years ago, as a young councilman, just over 30 years old, trying to you know, get involved in the community and different things, and Mr. Garnett was one of the people that was very forthcoming and helpful in helping me understand the economic development side of things as I became a part of the economic GCED through the city council as the member that was sitting on the board with the GCED group. Yeah. And you know, Paul and several others were very instrumental in explaining to me, you know, how it works and showing me the process, and I really appreciate what was done, you know, as GCED back in the day and what I was able to learn through that process. So I personally want to say thank you for what you did for me as well.
The very successful group GCED was. Just like always, love history. We need to keep in mind a lot of that stuff was the good work was countered by egos of people that were elected. So I just want to always make sure we remember when we're looking at economic development, check your egos at the door. We'll work forward and try to be a tool for the companies coming in, not a restriction to them.
Yeah, and I think both with the city and the county, and no criticism, please, but just a factual belief I have, and that is at times politics did enter into it, or egos of the elected officials on both sides, okay? Perhaps we did lose track of what was being successful, what's been recreated and overcreated and recreated again and again, as I've observed, has drifted. So make sure that the people who are structuring your economic development organizations are entrepreneurs more so than elected officials, if I may.
Caleb's in the room. We've been continuing to give him our tidbits of advice. The three supervisors to my left, to your right, have been working diligently to try to make sure we keep that focus on economic development. And I'm very optimistic.
I need to meet, mentor, anything that I can. I'm pro Beatrice, pro Gage County, pro Nebraska. Going down today.
Are you heading south?
Yes. Shortly too.
Thank you very much, Paul. With that, we have a time to vet. I would ask if anyone has a bid in the audience or an RFP in the audience for the grant writer for Gage County. If so, please bring it up. If not, I'd ask for a motion to close bids at 9:16.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dorn, second by Lytle, to close accepting RFPs for a grant writer. Did I say that right?
It was the other way around.
Motion by Lytle, second by Dorn, to close accepting grant writer RFPs at 9:16. Please vote. 7 in favor.
Do we have any?
I think it would be appropriate for Ms. Haxby to open this, yes?
What's he putting on you?
I don't know if we'll accept it.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Ms. Haxby, would you take a look at that?
Looks like we had one RFP submission from Merchant McIntyre and Associates.
And this is the company that works for the city of Beatrice as well.
Yeah. They just list at the beginning here. They've listed all the grants that they've done or been successful at so far.
Before we put a dollar amount on it, can we look over it and everything before we? Can we just accept it?
We have it now. It's ours, so we can review it and
Jeez. Refer it for review.
Yeah.
Rubber raw. Okay. So, with that, we'll just receive it here and.
It looks like they did break it up in the sections how I had laid out the RFP. So, I'd like to take some time to look through it all.
Yeah.
Maybe review it and then talk about it at committee meetings in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Bouncing back to the agenda, we're just gonna. We're not going to take action. Ms. Haxbeal, review. And do you want to review with anyone else on that?
Who is it for?
Well, that's what I was saying.
I don't know if we need a motion. We closed bidding, and we've already received it. I don't know.
Just a motion to review at your next.
Would you like a motion?
Well, it gives you knowing what we've done with it.
Mr. Adams.
I'd like to make a motion to review these in 2 weeks.
Second.
Motion by Adams, second by Claybaugh, to accept and review this RFP and talk about it in 2 weeks at committee meetings. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. We'll bounce back on the agenda. Mr. Merkel, he is not able to come in today, but he did call. He'd like to sincerely thank the board for bringing awareness about Down syndrome to our community. Mr. Merkel's always been a strong advocate for Down syndrome awareness. And I'm sorry? Oh, yeah. Gotcha. But yeah, Monty's always been a strong advocate, former member of our PNZ. And although he wanted to come in, he could not make it today. Going down the agenda, Mr. Deputy Patch is not here. I don't know, Sheriff, is he planning on coming in?
He's planning.
He told me 10 o'clock.
All right. Well, we'll just jump over him for now then. We do have Jared Reimers from Congressman Smith's office.
Yes.
Good morning, sir.
Morning. Appreciate the opportunity to provide a quick update, and I promise that even though I'm here with on behalf of a politician, I will try my best to keep it fairly ego-free. as usual, just a quick reminder, I'm Jared Reimers. I'm Congressman Smith's district coordinator, based out of Nebraska City, which is his most recent addition to the district offices that we added because of the unicameral expansion of the 3rd District to 79 of the 93 counties in the state. He's got an office in Nebraska City, Grand Island, and Scotts Bluff. All three do the same thing, which is constituent services. Those are a variety of things, but the big one we like to relay, especially in this setting, is what's called casework. Casework is how we work with constituents, whether it's elected officials like yourselves or your community members, to deal with federal red tape. Not that there's any of that at all. The big ones include things like expediting passports, securing VA benefits, writing letters of support for grants, dealing with things like USCIS, as well as USDA programs, for example. Not that there's no other programs we can't or agencies he can't work with. Those happen to be the big ones as far as numbers are concerned that he tends to give requests for support and assistance with. As far as legislation is concerned, the congressman continues to be the main trading Republican on the Ways and Means Committee. What that means for Nebraska, basically, is that ag issues are front and center for trade legislation coming out of the House, which is why ag export expansion with Japan, Singapore, UK were premier in some of the Trump administration's agreements that they've come up with so far in his second term, and why Congressman Smith was front and center in dealing with calming down the issues that Mexico and Canada had with dairy and biotech corn, in particular, as part of the USMCA. Last thing I wanted to mention as far as policy is concerned, because I know he was here in the area just recently touring a variety of things, so I'll keep it fairly short, is he was the lead Republican on a bill this last fall that basically created an additional finance tool for families to create what amounts to savings accounts for their kids to be able to make decisions on their education situations as they move forward through their educational journey. Basically, it's a scholarship program that's for the families to be able to create. It is not what Nebraska has already voted down several times. They basically took away property tax access to public schools. So while they envision in concept sound very similar, they are very separate in terms of the tools that they use to execute the ultimate goal of helping families save toward the journey of expanding kids' education opportunities. Now, like I said, despite the fact that I'm here on behalf of a politician, I'm going to stop talking. And happy to take any comments or questions. Otherwise, I know you've got other things to do.
Here, I'd like to thank Congressman Smith. He did award a very significant grant to the county here. He's always been completely accessible whenever we're in Washington or in our area here as well. So that's always fantastic. But as always, send him a thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Quick question. The House has moved, like the Save America Act, some of these things on to the Senate. Do you see any motion on some of the bills like that?
The Save America Act right now is in the Senate for the foreseeable future while they do their marathon presentations over the next few days or so. Hopefully not quite that long. Should it make it through the Senate? I know the president's very excited to sign what the House passed. If it doesn't make it through the Senate as is, then it'll go back to the House and Speaker Johnson to be able to get through. So it still certainly has the potential. But as is, it's ultimately down to whether or not the Senate can get it past the filibuster process.
It's amazing we could have a group as large as the House was 435 members, mm-hmm. send stuff down to somebody that's under 25%, and we still can't get agreement there.
Yeah.
Ms. Axby?
It was just a thank you. Eric covered most of it, but, I mean, Congressman Smith did carry one of our road grants, okay. but he also did support all of the other ones that we've gotten. So just want to say thank you. I've been talking to, I think, Michael in the office about a support letter, so we're working through that too.
Perfect.
I was just out in D.C., so I got to actually thank Congressman Smith in person. When I was up there, I was talking to somebody, and I was telling them all the grants that we've gotten and what we've worked on. And they said, their comment to me was, we must have really good representatives to get that. So it definitely, all of that goes through our representatives. So thank you.
Absolutely. He takes the concept of Team Nebraska seriously.
He does. We've got a great delegation there. Any other comments or questions for Mr. Reimers? We appreciate you coming in.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. We have a timed event at 9:30. With that, I believe we'll take a 4-minute recess at 9:27. 3 minutes now.
Lucky in that.
We will reconvene at 9:30 on the clock. We've recessed at 9:27. Does anyone have a bid in the audience for round 8 CMPs? Please bring them forward. If not, I'd ask for a motion to close bidding on round 8 CMPs.
Motion to close it.
You all have 9.
Moved by Dorn, second by Claybaugh. Please vote. 7 in favor. Bidding is closed. Are you going to read these, Mr. Lytle?
No, I'm going to open them and hand them down.
Mark, was it round 8?
It should be round 9.
Well, that's what I thought.
Okay, because all of them are listed as round 9.
We will make a correction to that. That was closing round 9 with the permission of Mr. Dorn and Mr. Claybaugh. Both nod in agreement. Round 9.
So it looks like we've got...
I was just going to say, when you open and read these, whoever is reading them, the project total for 1268, project total for 1271, the grand total, and start and end.
So we do have these.
These are CMP bits? Why does it say CMP? Who is messing with our agenda here?
They're all listed.
CBMP. Yeah, we're missing a letter. That's that is a significant difference. All right, if you get metal pipe instead of boxes.
These are going to be the projects that are funded at 55% with the state bridge match program.
We've got seven of them. Are you ready for me to start opening them and handing them down?
Let's go.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Okay.
9:30.
This is for C-34-1271. A total for this project, $383,961. For C-34-1271.
Oh, that's what you just said.
For what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. C-34-1068.
Is 383?
Yeah, 383-961. And for C-34-1271, $340,839.20 for a total of $724,800.
And 20 cents?
And 20 cents. 20 cents.
Vancouver.
Okay. Start date on the 1268, April of 26. End date, May of 26. Start date on C-34-1271, May of 26. End date of June of 26. $392,849.80. Total for project C-34-1271, $345,328.90 for a total of both $738.70. I'm going to redo it. $738, $178, and $70. Start of construction 10/12/26 on the first one, 1268, and 11/30/26. Start of construction on 1271, 11/2/26, end date 12/21/26. Next one, Nemaha Sport. Sports Construction, LLC, doing business as Nemaha Infrastructure. Total for project, C34-1268, $491,690.46.
600 what?
46 cents.
Right here.
Total for project, 1271, $422,144.70. Total for both, $913,835.10. 1268. I got to do it backwards. 1271, spring of 26, 60 calendar days. 1268, falling construction, completion of construction on 1271, 60 calendar days.
What was the initial start on that? 12-6?
Spring 26. Mark, what's the calendar days allowed in the contract? Was it 40? 45 is what's in my head.
We've got 60 calendar days for each project.
It's probably 60. Okay. These are bigger boxes. The last one was 50 calendar days.
That's probably about where the prices should be, is in the mid-9s.
MTZ Construction, LLC. Total for project, 1268, $422,162. Total for project, 1271, $386,627.20. Total for both, $813,789.20. 1268, start date June 1, end date July 21. 1271, August 3rd of this year, completion September 22nd of this year. E. Collins Contracting Company Incorporated. Total for 1268, $456,175.36. Total for project 1271, $396,675.12. Total for both projects, $852,850.48. Start date for 1268, fall of 26. End date, fall of 26. Start date for 1271, fall of 26. End date, winter of 26. High Plains
Structural Group.
Total for project 1268, $493,662. Total for project 1271, $439,980.55. Total for both, $933,642.55. Start date, 1268, September 26. End date, November 4th of 26. Start for 1271, July 7th of 26. End date, September 8th of 26.
Pretty soon we're going to run out of paper.
That's the last one.
See, Mr. Lytle.
got lucky.
Gus Construction Company Incorporated. Total for project $1,268,367,863.40. Total for project 1271, $324,597.85. Start date on 1268,
826
of...
What's the grand total?
Stick one in there at the end.
$692,461.25.
I don't understand this one. Is that typo?
Okay. Okay. The start on 1268 is 8/26 of 2025.
That's
what it said. end date 10/15 of 26. Start date on 12/71, 8/9 of 26. End date 9/28 of 26.
Mr. Jerkins, is there a bid bond included with?
Yeah, everyone had a bid bond that I saw.
We can take a look just to make sure there's a bid bond on that one.
I don't know. I see it.
I didn't have a bid bond. Why did you read the number?
Well, that's a good question.
Would you pull up just real quick while we're here?
Right here. It's right here.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure. Will you pull Van Kirk's and Vokes real quick, too? Just make sure we have bid bonds on each of these, the bottom three. The bottom three.
Van Kirk's is right. I mean, do you want him to open it and read it?
Open it, just make sure it's there. Yeah. Okay. And also one of the Vokes.
Okay. Here's Van Kirk's back with bid bond is on the outside. You'll have to take it out.
Bid bond, yes, on Van Kirk Brothers contractor.
And then we just confirmed that Vogue also has it. That'll be the bottom three. We really need to pull those and confirm that they're there.
Bid bond for Vogue Enterprises Incorporated is here.
The apparent low is Gus without review, Van Kirk, and then vote. I ask for a motion to accept all and refer to the Highway Department for review. Receive all and. Refer them to the Highway Department. I think you can have those back to us for this meeting still. Maybe. Motion to refer these to the Highway Department for review.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Lionel, second by Dorn to refer to the Highway Department. Becky, is that realistic to have those today, you think? We've got a while yet. I don't know if... If you don't have them... Yes, sir.
You think...
Dorn, climb on. Okay.
Oh, okay.
We should wait.
Motion by Lionel, second by Dorn. To refer to the Highway Department for review. If they get them done, they can come back. Otherwise, not. And recommendation. You guys both okay with that?
Yep.
Yes. Please vote. 7 in favor.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Do we need, well, I guess I could look at that. Is this a, I see there's a little discrepancy in start dates on that.
I think we need to look at that as well.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But if they take a look, run through the numbers, make sure everything matches up, dates, get it back to us if possible.
Feel free to use one of the spacious side offices. We have another timed event. Are there any armor coating bids in the audience? If so, please bring them forward. If not, I'd ask for a motion to close accepting bids for the 26 armor coat project.
So moved.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Jergens. Please vote. 7 in favor. Do we have armor coat bids?
Got 2, I believe. Yep, there's 2.
This is for armor coating 31.3 mile blacktop road.
First one's from Stay-Built. There is a bid bond included.
Total for the 31.3 miles, $797,253.71. There's quite a few. There's 6-7 roads in this project. Start date 5/11 of 26, end date 5/29 of 26.
Here I'm opening as well.
Is this from Midwest?
Midwest Coatings.
This one is from Midwest Coating Company Incorporated. Total for all the projects, $877,702.17. Start date of 5/11/26, end date 6/1/26.
That's the bond.
Oh. Okay.
Midwest Coatings, $877,702.17. I would ask for a motion to refer those to the Highway Department for review and recommendation.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle. Second by Claybaugh. Please vote. 7 in favor. Lytle, Claybaugh, refer to the Highway for review and recommendation.
No.
Talking to Mark here, we budget $450,000 on this project, but I'm assuming the price of oil and everything has some big issues with this.
That includes gravel, doesn't it?
Is that two?
Total. I believe you're right, so we might have to take a look at that. No, we really don't.
cut into Mark's fund money, though. Every year. We're going to back
every year
our agenda right now to receive recommendation and possibly approve or disapprove Gage County 26 CDC C-34-1095 and C-34-1103. Mark, before you leave the room, not you, Mark, other Mark, not, hold on, front Mark. This would be on recommendation on the box's bid last meeting. We asked you to review those and also contact the contractor on this.
Yes, sir.
Contractor bidding this ran over significantly on the last project.
So yesterday morning I emailed Vogue Scapes, Keith Sunderman with Vogue, expressing a concern for scheduling, making sure that they are under the understanding that we are not, we wanted them to start on their bid date document start dates, complete on their bid date documents, and they had a 50-day calendar work day on that. Keith did call me over the noon hour. We discussed that a little bit. He said he would refer that email on to Tim. This morning I received an email from Tim Vogue. It says, thank you for your email and sharing the board's concerns. We appreciate the clarity on expectations. We fully commit to completing each site within the required time frame, ensuring all work is finished no later than October 1st, 2026, as specified. We take the 50 calendar day completion window and the $1,500 a day per site liquidated damages provision very seriously. Since our previous projects, we have strengthened our scheduling process with dedication, project oversight, expanded crew availability, and backup resources, and more throughout pre-construction planning to ensure reliable on-time delivery.
What was their, so they're already backpedaling from the dates that they put on their bid? What were the start date and finish dates that they listed?
Their start date was June 1st. Nope, sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah.
June of 26, and finishing all projects by September of 26.
So we were going to say the one project was to be very clear. The one was going to be done by September 30th of 26, because that's what they put in their bid. And then the other one was going to be done September 30th of 2026, because they said that it would be done by September of 26.
They have a start of June of 26 with a completion of August 26. Me double-checking numbers, if they started the end of June 30th,
that's what they said was, did they just say June?
They just say June of 26, okay. But I calculated out if they were to start June of 26, they would finish August 19th, give or take,
okay.
Calculating the 50 work days, and then they would start the next one, and it would still finish before September 30th.
Still
my calculations.
Before September 30th. But in the letter that Tim wrote, he said October.
By October 1st. Finished
by
no
October
later
1st.
Than October 1st.
Okay. It's specification required completion by
October 1st.
Ms. Hatchby.
I move to approve accepting the Vogue Scapes bid with the clarification that they adhere to their bidding timeline. So the 1095 would be completed by August 31st, 2026, and 1103 will be completed by September 30th of 2026.
And when you say Vogue Scapes, you mean Vogue Enterprises.
Vogue Enterprises, yes.
What is the recommendation of the Highway Department? Same as her motion?
Yes.
Thoughts from the board?
Give me a second.
Please.
Second.
Motion by Hatchby, second by Lytle to approve Oak Enterprises award on C-34-1095, C-34-1103 with contingency that they adhere to bid dates. 1095 finished no later than 8/31/26. 1103 completed no later than 9/30/26. Okay, discussion from the board. Ms. Axby.
This was the one where we had over, just as a clarification, over $100,000 in liquidated damages from the last project because we had issues with completion dates. So it was a very strong discussion with this one because it is our responsibility to go with the lowest responsible bidder, and there could be arguments made that that was not the case. However, they did, I will say, to give them the benefit, they did come in and they accepted those liquidated damages for that project. So we just want to make sure that we're very clear with our deadlines on this. Even with those deadlines, they're still going to be a maintained 50 working days.
Calendar days.
50 calendar days with those deadlines. So,
would you like to add that for emphasis to your motion?
If we could, it will still maintain a 50 calendar day working.
Is that all right with you, Mr. Lytle?
Mark, are they clear with the exact dates?
So my email
looked like it was general.
Nope. My email to them was the Board of Supervisors wanted me to reach out to you and address some concerns before we make a decision for the concrete boxes stated above. Gage County wants to be clear and state that the projects will start on the time stated on the bid forms and completed by the time stated on the bid forms. Per the specs, each site has 50 calendar day completion time and a $1,500 a day per site liquidated damages if the contractor fails completion. We are concerned about scheduling and want to make sure you can start and complete these projects in the allotted window of construction days, meet the submitted bid start dates and specs.
And like I say, I don't want to be too rigid on these, except in this situation where we've had an issue in the past where it was a ridiculous amount of time.
We're pretty lenient on extenuating circumstances, and we were, except this one was drawn out way past. So just if we could add that part, it would also clarify the 50 calendar days in that motion. I'd appreciate that as well.
Mr. Lytle agreed to that as well. That will be added to the motion, the 50 calendar days
so maintain,
per site.
Maintain 50 calendar days per site.
With the ending dates per their bid.
Ending on each one, 50 calendar days work maximum. That is more stringent than we would normally be. But they, I think in that situation,
they did ask, and I can see them doing this, if they can start on one as soon as excavation is started on that one or finished on that one, move to the other one. So they were hoping to be leapfrogging on both of them.
They were hoping to be doing that last time, too.
They were, but those ones, there was a lot more traffic to worry about since they're in the same section on a lot of these. These ones, since they're on opposite sides of the county, I told them I didn't see an issue with that.
We don't have anything that says they have to do one.
No.
Moving on to the next one. So
that was one concern we had on those other projects, was making sure that we could have apply traffic control to residents that live on those sectional miles.
Yeah. Right, and that's why I wanted to clarify. Like, I'm not too concerned about the beginning date, just that they have to be completed by the bidding end date, and they have 50 calendar days.
Yeah, so if they open the second one, they've got 50 days once they open it.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any additional discussion on this? If not, please vote. 7 in favor to award to Oak Enterprises with the aforementioned dates, 50 calendar days. Finish date no later than 8/31 on 1095 and 9/30 of 1103, both of 2026. All right, please vote. Seven in favor, motion carries. We have a public hearing to your support or opposition for the special use permit 2026-1 for the placement of a commercial agricultural business to be located on a tract of land located on a part of southeast quarter section 24-6-7 of Nemaha Township. I'd ask for a motion to go into public hearing at 10:02.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Thorne. Please vote. Seven in favor. We're in public hearing. There's a sign-up sheet on the desk to the right, to your right of the microphone. If you would like to speak in favor or opposition to this. Lisa, do you want to give us a
sure.
lead-in to this
one? I'll just give you a lead-in. This was Bob Graves from Graves Enterprises is here to answer any questions that you might have, but just a quick overview. This is in an A2 area. If you're looking for directions from 34B up north and Highway 41, it'd be a mile and three quarters east on the north side of Highway 41 between where Boer Trucking is at or just directly west of that, and then you have the Hog Garden Station there, but between those two entities. We refer them to as the Boer area, you know, the Boer buying and the Boer trucking area. So, again, located in an A2 area, they had to go through the special use permit process because it's a commercial agricultural business. So that means a hearing presented to the planning and zoning with a full business plan, which he did. We sent out 106 landowner notifications. For those individuals within 1.2 miles of that area, we held our hearing on February 19th. The new area consists of 3.58 acres. The application, you have a copy of the full packet of what he submitted to planning and zoning. He's got a full, Bob's got a full business plan. There was no opposition heard at our P&Z meeting. I had four calls that came into the office just generally asking questions. Bob was very welcome to give that phone number, you know, to them. There was no opposition, though, that was represented over the phone as well. The NDOT reviewed the right-of-way and the Highway 41 driveway along with Nemaha Township, and then Mark Hunke went out and also looked at that. Anytime anything is built along a state highway, there is always that driveway permitting process that has to be approved first, especially when they look at the, you know, the speed limits, you know, the topography of the ground and so forth. So the commission finds that this location and land use conforms to the applicable regulations and complies with our 7 guidelines. And so they passed this particular one 6-0. I had one member absent. So Bob Graves is here, so I'll let him take it from there and for you to ask any questions you might have. So,
Lisa,
yep.
Mr. Graves, I'll swear you in here. Will you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth? Nothing but the truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There we go. Thank you, Mr. Graves. Go ahead.
Yeah, just want to, I don't really know where to start. Just present, we've presented to the other one. We've been in, I'm Bob Graves with Graves Access Seed. We also have a company called Graves Logistics, which is basically sold out down to nothing. We're moving this business down here. We've been looking for a place to go for a couple years. Finally found it. Location works great for us. Highway 41 works great for us. Happy to be coming down to Gage County if this works out. We sell ag products, obviously seed and a lot of other side products that go along with it. I am not primarily a fertilizer dealer. I don't sell bulk fertilizer. If I do, it's sold by semis and direct ship straight to farms. So I'm not setting up a co-op type fertilizer plant. I'm setting up a seed plant. We sell a lot of side liquid products, but it comes in 275-gallon totes and 2.5-gallon jugs, stuff like that. Been a business since, in the seed business since 1998, been in the ag business since 1990 when I got out of college. Have a client base that's been around for a long time. I was in Kansas for years, so I have a large base in Kansas, so we ship a lot to Kansas. We're building here in Nebraska and southeast Nebraska. We have a client base in Missouri, too, that we ship to also. That's basically it. The building we're putting up is an 80 by 125. It's a high side, 19 foot. I plan on using the lagoon. Unless that doesn't work, we'll put a septic system in. The fuel tanks that I'm bringing are all self-contained. They're double sidewalls, so I think the biggest one I'll probably bring down is 2,000. I've got a 12,000. I don't think I'll bring it with me because I'm not in the trucks near as much at this point. So I'll be glad to answer any questions you have, and that's a real quick summation of what I'm doing.
We looked at the location, Randy, on the road tour. It looks like a great spot. Thank you for your investment in Gage Family.
You're welcome. Thank you for everything, because it is a great spot, I think, for us. So.
Bob, how many employees will you have at that location?
It's not very many, but going forward, who knows? Right now, I lost my main warehouse guy, and I went to HVAC. I was a young kid. I usually get college kids and young kids and get them going, and then they sometimes leave, which is good for them, not so good for me. So I use a lot of part-timers. Like this time of year, I've got 4 part-time college kids and a couple retired guys. Long-term, I can see easily we get to another full-time, but that's completely on how things go. I kind of like running lean, and as we get bigger and bigger, we'll have to get some. Well, it'll be great. So,
I didn't catch the name of the company at the beginning. What was that?
Graves Enterprises, Inc.
Graves Enterprises.
That's our
label. And you said you sell seed and some chemicals and, yeah, and side dress things?
Seed, I would say micros when it comes to fertilizers. No, not majors. So we don't have giant tanks. We don't have giant containment. We do sell a lot of micros. That's a good way to put it. And a lot of planter box treatments. A lot of the smaller things that are really popular now. A lot of holistic things that that are on the market that are pretty appealing for the grower.
Any other questions for Mr. Graves?
More farmer questions than permit questions.
Get his number and give him a buzz.
Yeah.
He'll have a location close by, it sounds like. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Graves.
Well, thank you.
That's the only person we have, unless there are other folks on the sign-up sheet. Lisa, I guess I'd ask you to come up again. Recommendation of the P&Z was to approve unanimously.
That is correct.
All regulations are met.
That is correct. It has met all the guidelines.
Any questions in public hearing for Ms. Wagan? That's fascinating. If not, I would ask for a motion to come out of public hearing at 10:10.
So move.
Second. Moved by Doran, second by Jergens. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. As is common practice for us, we'll have this on the agenda in a couple weeks. I don't see any problem with the approval, Mr. Graves. I say that cautiously just because you never know what happens, but I'd like to reiterate Mr. Adams' sentiment. Thank you for investing in the county. We look forward to having you in the area.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I live in Lincoln.
Okay.
And I haven't moved down here yet, but we'll see. Once I start working down here, I may not like to drive as much. But yeah, I've been to Lincoln since 2006.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
We will go back to Deputy John Patch to present the grievance that was filed. Sheriff, do you want to start with this, or do we want to have Deputy Patch come up?
I can set the stage, I guess.
Just to lead into the story.
He had grieved on some overtime, believe me correctly. The step was to go to first step as chief deputy. He ruled in favor of what he thought it should have been, that it wasn't. I got it.
Chief ruled in favor of
John.
Of Deputy Patch.
Right.
Okay.
Next step is to go to me.
All right.
I conferred with Dawn. She got a hold of Sarah, and they come up.
Sarah, our labor attorney.
Yes.
Okay.
And they come back with a ruling, which is about 3 pages, and that's whatever. Okay. And so I signed off on that because always that's the go-to person if you're going to do something like that. And then it went step three, which John is taking that option to do today.
Okay. Deputy Patch, do you want to present anything? Or
I do have some questions, yes.
Okay. And in this situation, we can talk back and forth, too. So, John, if you want to come up, give your name and... Amanda, he can ask questions back and forth with us, present his case, and refer back and forth.
Public hearing for John, so he can...
No, not public hearing.
Sorry, it's a hearing for...
I get to do that sometimes, too.
It's a formal hearing that gives John an opportunity to present his grievance to the board, and then get you to ask questions.
Okay, thank you. Would you give your name and position for the record?
John Patch, P-A-T-S-C-H. I am deputy with the Gates County Sheriff's Office.
Please plead your case.
Okay, sir. I think it's pretty much black letter. On my pay stub, it calculated that I had 88.5 hours of work time. We accrue overtime at anything over 84 hours. Okay. Also, during that pay period, I worked 24 hours of holiday time. It is in a premium status.
You worked how many hours of holiday?
24 hours.
24 hours of holiday time.
It is in a premium status. When I got my original pay stub, it showed that the county clerk's office had paid me for 4.5 hours of overtime, but took that 4.5 hours, and 19.5 hours of holiday pay. The contract is pretty much black letter. Anything over 84 hours that I work is overtime. Any time that's worked during a holiday period is holiday premium.
So okay. You're in agreement on the overtime. It's the discrepancy is on the holiday pay.
It changed. Originally, that's how they said they paid me. That's how it's stated on my time slip. When I brought the grievance forward, they said, no, that's not the case. What happened then is they paid me for 24 hours of holiday work time and 0 hours of overtime.
So then it came back 24 hours holiday pay, zero overtime.
That is correct. When I brought it to the sheriff's attention, I received back an opinion. I do have a question about that opinion. Does anybody or any of the board members know who generated that opinion?
Okay, the sheriff created that based on legal counsel. Is that from labor? Okay, so
I beg to differ that because I sent an email to the sheriff asking who generated that, and he said it had come from the clerk's office.
Correct. It came at the advice of the legal counsel.
So that would have come from Sarah?
From, yes, and she included the sheriff in the email in response, and so it went to both of us.
Okay, so I'm gonna reiterate what she said. So most of those things we won't actually give an opinion on. We'll send it on to our labor attorneys, Woods Aiken. So they'll generate something and give it to us to regurgitate. So technically it would come from the sheriff because he's the supervisor in your office.
Okay.
It may go to both because whatever it is, the clerk's office has to process it, but they won't make that decision either without legal counsel.
I understand that. Like I said, in that email, when I asked who had generated it, he said, like I said, it had come from the clerk's office. I'm looking for a name.
I guess I would ask both of you, then that came directly from Woods Aiken, and then you guys just regurgitated it.
Okay,
so that would be the sheriff from our legal counsel.
So the sheriff generated that.
The sheriff's would be the official
There would be a recommendation from council, and then it would be a response from the sheriff.
I understand that he's the one that's taking responsibility. I'm asking who actually generated it.
Doesn't matter, the sheriff.
I would say when the sheriff signed it, it's his response.
Deputy Patch, I will say it wouldn't matter what anyone else said. It comes down to what the sheriff decides to go with. Unfortunately, against my will, he does not have to do what we say. So it would be from the sheriff.
Unfortunately. Okay. Next question. Do any of the board members know of any recent changes the county clerk's office has made to how work holiday hours are being calculated?
There's been discussion on it, and I think we'll get an overview. The clerk's office has not changed anything.
Yes, they have. They've changed the way they calculate holiday worked hours.
Would you give us specifics?
Specifically, when that time slip was generated, when that I originally got. Okay, holiday was calculated at hours worked. So let's say you're working 12-hour day. You get 12 hours paid at 1.5 times. Then you get...
Let me stop you quick there just to clarify. Do we pay on contract 12 hours for holiday or 8?
I can give you the contract. It says the hours
so
worked.
So ours is all
hours
8,
worked.
So yours would be different than it. 12.
It says the hours worked, actually, the actual hours worked.
Okay, so it's your normal shift.
12 hours is a normal shift.
So that's a mistake in that contract, then. That's part of what we're looking at. This last piece of... See, there were mistakes made by the last legal counsel. Sorry, not from your office. There were mistakes made that were not correct in the contract. But whatever the contract is what it is. So
okay.
It's hours worked. Okay, so we're in agreement.
On the previous calculation method, before I originally filed this grievance, you were paid time and a half for every hour worked on a holiday. So normal day shift, you're working 12 hours, time and a half, plus 8 hours of holiday pay. So you're getting time and a half double time and a half for 8 of those hours, and then 1.5 times pay for 4 of those hours. That's how it was previously calculated. Now it's being calculated at double time and a half for every hour worked. So if you were working 12 hours, you were getting shorted 4 hours of pay. Instead of those 8 hours, it should have been time and a half for the entire 12 hours, or double time and a half for the entire 12 hours.
It should have been double time and a half because instead of 8 hours paid holiday, you're saying it should be 12 hours paid holiday. Plus the time and a half?
Time and a half, or paid holiday, in the contract should not be calculated in. Should not have been calculated in. It should have been double time and a half for every hour worked. So
you're coming up with your time and a half and your 8 hours is double and a half equivalent? Is that
No.
I didn't follow it either, John. So the 12 hours you're saying should be time and a half. Take the holiday out, and then there should be an additional 8 hours for holiday added in.
No, sir. By contract, every hour worked during a holiday is double time and a half.
Every hour worked is double time and a half plus 8 hours.
No, the 8 hours should have never been calculated in.
Okay, I'm going to ask opinion from our attorney then. He's saying there is no holiday figured in. Just whatever you work, just 2.5 times regular pay on a holiday. In the contract.
Attached in my packet, it does specify the means by the calculations for holiday work.
What is, so he's saying it's not time and a half plus an 8-hour holiday. It's just 2.5 times your hours worked.
That is correct.
I would agree with that.
Okay. So you're in agreement it should be 2.5 times hours worked.
Yes.
No 8 hours figured in later.
Yes, which actually is why advertising labor attorneys, there was an overpayment in the situation.
Okay, so you agree with Deputy Patch, should be 2.5 straight through, we don't do the 8-hour holiday.
I agree that that's how it should be done.
Okay, she agrees with you then, so.
And that is how it's currently has been done. On my pay stub, the original one, that was not how it was done.
It's 2.5 times any hour work on a Monday. Okay, so on your original one, it was incorrect.
The original one, my opinion is that by contract, any hours worked during a pay period over 84 hours are time and a half. Okay, that's overtime. That's our overtime rate. Any hours worked during a holiday are double time and a half. The original way it was calculated is they took 4.5 hours off of my holiday work and paid me for the overtime. Okay? Then they recalculated it when I filed the grievance that it was, no, you get 24 hours of holiday pay, but no overtime. By the contract, I should get both.
That's where I disagree.
Well, where he's getting it is in Section 5. That's what you presented, correct?
That is correct, sir.
So is this under the FOP agreement or in the employee handbook?
Neither agreement, neither the county handbook or the FOP agreement states that deputies are entitled to both.
I'm not asking for both at the same time. The 24 hours that I worked in holiday, they keep subtracting from my total hours worked. I actually worked those 24 hours. It was my regular work day. Those were my regular work shifts. So I actually worked those 24 hours. The 4.5 hours that I accrued during that pay period did not happen. It happened the week prior.
I want you to ponder that. Is that your last point, or do you have additional? Or do you want to respond now to this?
I'm not sure how. I don't believe that John has understood the breakout the way that the clerk's office has done it, because according to our review and the records, he was paid each hour at what he's expecting to be paid.
But where's he? My question, I guess, would be, where are the, he thinks there's 4.5 hours missing. Is that correct?
There was, depending on which pay stub I'm getting, there was originally 4.5 hours shorted for my holiday that I worked. And then it was reversed, and then that 4.5 hours that I had been paid for overtime now were put into the premium status of the holiday pay. They're two separate entities.
The hours, let's go to total hours worked first. Do we have the right total hours worked?
It is agreed that I worked 88.5 hours, yes.
88.5 hours, okay. Let's try to work backwards here just so I can understand this.
There was 64.5 worked.
No, sir.
Yeah.
88.5.
Okay. Yeah, because you got to add the holiday as well.
We did add the holiday.
Because they were worked.
Okay, so that creates the 88. Down by okay. Week because we're, gotcha. We're based on overtime per week, correct?
No, sir.
No,
oh, overtime is 50.
They don't accrue overtime until I have worked over 84 hours.
So, okay, so it's not a weekly.
It's no. 12:15 to 12:26 that we're looking at.
Okay. I thought it was still based on per week, yet.
Yes, sir.
Okay, walk me through this now, Amanda. So we have 88.5 hours total worked. I see that here.
Okay, so if you'll note on the calculation that we did, just sort of a breakdown per hour. prior to December 26th of 2025, there was no overtime required yet because John hadn't worked the 84 hours in a two-week time period. Does that make sense?
Okay.
The overtime for the sheriff's deputies don't kick in until after 84 hours in a two-week time period.
Okay, and that's where we have this 84 hours denoted here.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Patch has the same sheet so we can walk through this.
Then you'll see what we're looking at.
Okay. So, as of December 26, 2025, John has been paid 2 hours of holiday pay for a total of 8 hours that day. He worked 1.5 hours at the regular rate until he reached 84 hours.
Okay.
And then, once he exceeded that 84 hours, he received 4.5 hours at the premium holiday rate, 2.5 times his normal pay, at $85 an hour. So those 4.5 hours, he was paid out the holiday rate, 2.5 hours, because that 4.5 hours exceeded his, those were overtime. But he was paid the premium holiday overtime benefit, not standard 1.5 overtime hours.
That's how it was calculated. I disagree with that calculation because by contract, anything over 84 hours is overtime. It doesn't matter where that was accrued because the only
you're agreeing with that though.
I'm agreeing that John worked 4.5 hours of overtime pay and that he was paid out 2.5 times those 4.5 hours of overtime.
So,
I think John's saying I didn't get the additional 1.5 hours of overtime.
No, ma'am, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, then according to the calculation, the pay that you received on that
day. It's a spider. It's So back to the 4.5 hours at 2.5 times.
Right. Gave him his total hours.
So he only had 64 hours.
88.5 hours.
Because you can't include the
24
hours
of holiday pay. His paycheck was $4,369. That accounted for all those hours.
Because
what he's arguing is you should get both. Plus, 2 holiday hours on December 24th and 2 holiday hours on December 26th. Those were non-work hours, but he still received the benefit from the county of those holiday. The county gave him the benefit of 8 hours of holiday pay, even though he didn't work those 2 hours. But, so I guess, John, I'm lost with you. I think that you weren't compensated.
It is pretty straightforward, okay? I've got it right. I've got the contract says, am I correct or incorrect? The contract says anything over 84 hours is now overtime.
I believe so.
Which contract? FOP?
The FOP contract.
Okay. Anything over 84 is time and a half.
It would normally be time and a half unless you're compensated 2.5 with the premium rate, which is what he was compensated. He was paid 2.5 times for those 4.5 hours of overtime pay.
So here's the crux of it. Because I worked a holiday on my last day, my last day on that pay period, I got 4.5 hours taken, 4.5 hours taken away from me because it was already in a premium status. If I worked one more day after that, you shifted all over, this would not happen.
Wait, I think I know what you're saying. So the holiday, you're saying you got 2 hours holiday that you didn't work on Wednesday, 2 hours on Friday that you didn't work, you got holiday. You're saying there should have, oh wait, no, I just confused myself.
Okay, the 8 hours that we get per holiday day, okay, has nothing to do with this calculation.
Create this.
Because calculation is 88 or anything over 84 hours is overtime.
Right here in your overtime calculations.
At 1.5.
Okay.
At 1.5. Any holiday worked is 2.5. Okay. The problem here is that the Friday I worked was a holiday. So I'm in a premium status. That's also when the computer, whatever program you have, said, well, you've exceeded 84 hours, so now this is overtime. The original way this was written on that time slip is I got 4.5 hours of overtime and 19.5 hours of holiday. I worked 24 hours of holiday and I worked 88.5 hours during that work period. Right? So I should have gotten my overtime pay for the 4.5 hours of overtime I worked, regardless whether it was calculated when I was in a premium status or not. That's just coincidence.
No. So the worksheet that the clerk's office uses, you have to understand what everything means and how it adds up. Because what was paid, in my understanding, is correct. Because you have 64 and a half hours of worked hours as far as overtime goes. Okay, we have 24 hours that is paid as premium. Paid as premium under the holiday.
Pause for 1 second for me, Gary. You worked 88 and a half hours.
I did not work 64 hours. I worked 88.5
yes,
hours.
Yes, correct. You
okay.
did.
Okay.
But when you look under Section 3 in overtime, under Article 7, the hours of work, paid holiday leave is not included in the purposes of calculating overtime pay. So that way you're not paying 4%. You're paying 2.5% for the premium hours.
Where is that not? Where is that written, sir?
In the FOP agreement.
Under what stat?
Article 7, Section 3.
Is that where we're getting to the extra overtime by including paid holiday hours in the overtime?
Yes. Because as the clerk's office works through their sheet, they show hours under overtime of 4.5, but that's just for their use. It's not actual overtime that's going to be paid. If that makes sense. It's tracking.
It's overtime and overtime.
It's not the payment.
Correct. It's a tracking thing.
Does that make sense to you, Deputy, that the holiday hours were accidentally calculated into overtime hours?
Accidentally calculated? What? No. Just what for tracking their calculations.
For tracking, they're there, but they don't apply towards overtime if they're benefit hours.
Right.
Okay,
no benefit hours apply towards overtime.
And this goes back to my argument. If we move this one day over, okay, I work those 24 hours a holiday, and then I have one more day after that. I would have got paid for the 24 hours of holiday and the 4.5. It's because of those happened coincidentally, in other words, at the same time, I'm getting shorted 4.5 hours. I worked 88.5 hours, and I worked 24 hours of those were holiday. Why am I being shorted my overtime? Because during the end of that pay period, I was working in a holiday stat or holiday premium.
It shouldn't be shorted any hours.
Look at the chart you have that breaks it down by hours. And when you get December 24th, 2025,
mm-hmm.
you worked 6 hours that day.
I'll have to agree. Okay, it was either at the beginning or end of my shift. So I'm guessing that's a Friday?
Wednesday.
Wednesday the 24th.
Okay.
Christmas Eve. You worked 6 hours on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
You received those 6 hours of holiday premium pay.
Yes.
Two and a half Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And 2 hours not.
And you also received 2 hours of holiday pay not worked that day. To give you the total 8-hour benefit.
So
look at the chart before.
I know how it's calculated. the chart, it's all under agreement. Even the attorney that you advised said that I worked 24 hours during holiday status,
okay, okay.
Which should have been paid at 2.5 times.
You were paid for 24 hours.
Yes, the second time. Yes, the second time. The second time, evidently, I was. The first calculation did not show it that way. The first calculation on my sheet showed I worked 4.5 hours of overtime and 19.5 hours of holiday. So they took those hours from my premium status and moved it over into overtime status.
Which would be inside one time.
I don't know where that's.
That would be 1.5 times.
That's not how it was calculated.
I don't know how it was calculated here. I'm telling you what it showed on my pay stub.
Well, keep going.
Pay stubs. John, why was there two pay stubs? There should have only been one.
No, there wasn't two pay stubs. When I brought this up, that this I believe this was a miscalculation, they said, no, we're paying you. They changed it to, we're paying you now for 24 hours of holiday pay, but no time for my overtime.
So one pay stub was created.
That's where you get it.
This is the only time sheet that was created.
Correct.
Where are your two pieces?
I don't have a second piece. This is what I was told by the county clerk's office. If you look into that opinion where it shows hours calculated, it will show 64 hours of regular time and 24 hours of holiday time. So that is different than what it stated on my pay stub. That stated 19.5 hours of holiday and 4.5 hours of overtime.
Do you have a pay stub?
I think, so I'm wondering, so on the pay stub, was it stating regular hours, overtime hours, and then holiday hours? Is that how it reads on your stub?
That would be correct, plus the older... Okay. The older...
So what this is doing here, this is calculated at 1.0. It's just where it's compartmentalized on the pay stub. So anything that is paid out at 1.0, those would be put within the same category because that's the way it has to be calculated in the system. So that would say regular hours, 64
plus 24.
This would be at, these were both calculated 1.5 times, but this was put in, a different category. This put it in a different category as well because they're paid differently.
But between OT and holiday, it's going to come together.
Right, but this is on his pay stub. That would be how it would be separated out.
Yeah.
Brandy, do I understand right then he worked 88.5 hours, but he was paid out at 92.5 hours because there were 4 hours of holiday
additional
pay on top?
Right. So
he's actually being paid out at 92.5 hours for working 88.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we are giving the full... What we have been doing is giving the full
8 hours.
So, you know, somebody works 6 hours, you know, we're still going to give them the extra 2 hours to meet that 8 hours. So, but essentially, really how the contract reads, it's paid at 2.5 times hours worked. So we've actually been giving more than...
Okay, then take the money away. But that isn't how it was calculated. I was calculated at 1.5 times for working those 24 hours plus 24 hours of holiday pay, which brings that up to what it should be, the 2.5 times, correct?
Okay,
that doesn't account for those 4.5 hours of holiday or overtime.
Yeah, it does.
I disagree.
Because there is no overtime pay to be had.
So I worked 88.5 hours.
I've got your
hours.
Pay stub here.
Right.
So we've
But there's no overtime when you have 24 hours of you only worked 64 and a half.
No, sir. I worked actually 88.5 hours. I did not work 64 hours.
I don't disagree with that point. But as far as overtime calculation, it is just the 64 and a half hours that are used for overtime calculation.
No.
No, this would be added here.
You have to add?
No, because in Section 3, paid holiday leave is not included for overtime calculation.
I think that's leave.
He worked.
Because it's all factored into the premium pay for a holiday. That's why there's no additional overtime.
This doesn't have hours. Yeah, that's an hour 64.
So this would not be calculated into overtime pay.
Correct.
Not this.
Which is this as well.
This is.
I guess I don't understand. This is.
So this is what he did not work. This is what he did work.
The 4 hours.
So essentially, 2 or 3 hours would not be a system. So
on his pay stub, do we get up to the right number of hours? Is what I'm asking.
So. I think it's doubling up. Regulars? Holidays. So that would be what?
Because there were 88 hours of actual work, not including your benefit time.
I actually worked 88.5 hours during that 24. Period.
Yeah, 24. So that's paid time.
Yeah, I was looking at this one too.
Time and a half. The 2.5 times.
Yeah.
But that equals 88. Yeah, hours. Here's what I was looking at. This equals 88.5.
It's going to be regular versus paid holiday, and what are these two? So we have these are the hours, 24 paid holiday, so we've got 88.5 hours of paid holiday and
regular time. So there's 88.5 hours paid to you. There's 19 and a half at holiday pay rate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another 4.5 at overtime rate.
That's how it was originally calculated.
So has this been recalculated then? Is this not the right one that I have?
My original grievance was that I actually worked 24 hours during those holidays, not 19.5.
Which is why I did this. The breakout actually paid these hours,
the work hours at the time. I don't know why. I don't understand that printout, but I do know that if you go timesheet by timesheet, what his pay was received on those days, he was paid at that rate.
Do you have this one?
She did originally.
She does, yeah.
Okay.
She went through that.
Okay, yes.
That's what I used to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
is that correct? That's the... Because there's no new stub. That's the only stub that's ever been created.
Let me say that I don't understand that stub. I don't understand how the different breakouts go down. What I do understand is how it was paid by hourly and what how many pay was paid.
Because I see on this pay stub 88.5 hours of work time being paid. I see 19 and a half at holiday time or 24 hours paid in addition to holiday pay and regular time.
It was calculated at 64.5 hours at regular time, yes.
64 at regular, mm-hmm. 64 and a half at regular,
that's right. Yep.
And then we also have 24 at holiday.
Right.
At regular.
No, at holiday premium. And then we have another 19 and a half that was paid at work on a holiday, so that would be premium.
That holiday pay.
And then overtime, 4.5 hours.
No, that's not a pay, whatever that 4.5 that you just saw. Uh-huh. That's just their way of tracking that. They didn't make it.
Yeah, the reason that it moves over here is because we have to track the overtime.
Right.
So the way that we are calculating this, because the way the system is, we would regular time, okay, we are adding this one plus this one to create the 2.5 times right here.
I get that. These are being added back in, mm-hmm. but yes. when it reads...
It does.
When it reads overtime, it's not...
Yeah.
I mean, you have to add that back in. Otherwise, if you went right down the line, otherwise you would have... 112 and a half hours is what you were paid for. Which obviously isn't correct, but that's what your pay stub says. I've got a copy of your pay stub that you received. So it shows that you were paid for 112 and a half hours.
I have no idea if that's correct.
No, I have a copy of your
pay stub. Like I said, I haven't... My pay stub that I received?
Yeah, I have a copy of it.
Okay.
So it shows that you were paid for 112 and a half hours. That's obviously not correct because it's been compressed
That's
down.
That's to establish the rate, the amount I got paid.
Right, right. And some of those are at your regular rate. Some of them are at the 2.5 times or 1.5 times.
What's bringing
so it's basically stacked them on top of each other to where you get to your 2.5. Otherwise, even though some of them are at 1.5 times, they're reading regular hours. It's since the benefits are stacked in there, that's the issue here. It's reading regular time, overtime, work holiday, and paid holiday. So you're obviously not paid all of those. Well, you are paid all those individually, but it's compressed into that 88 and a half hours. You didn't work 112 and a half hours. You were paid on top of each other multiple times going back. So the paid holiday and the regular time comes up to your 84 and a half hours. 64 and a half at regular, and then it reads paid holiday at 24. You get to your 84 and a half hours that you've worked. Then we stack on top of that an additional 19 and a half hours and 4.5 hours, or a total of 23 and a half hours.
Does anybody have a copy of what I submitted as a grievance?
Yeah.
That's
where
that came from.
I think he's wanted to look at it.
You want to look at the grievance?
Yes.
The calculator,
no.
I think that's the...
Yeah.
The problem is the hours are there. They're stacked on top of each other.
Yeah. They can't see this. They only get to see the pay stub.
I don't know. The problem is it's confusing.
Well, mine does
confusing the hell out of us.
Also, and it's very confusing when people are looking at it.
But it is confusing. But not everybody gives as much stuff as what they give. That's the problem.
May I approach?
Yeah, you bet.
This is how they're saying that they calculated my pay. So 64.5 hours at regular pay and 24 hours at holiday pay.
Yes.
Okay, that's it. That gave us to our 84.5 hours. Okay. This is what I'm saying should have happened. The 24 hours, I should have had 4.5 hours overtime, which I worked. So they're saying it calculated to $4,233, okay? Calculation I have is I worked 16 hours at regular, 4.5 hours at overtime, 24 hours at holiday work,
for a total of $4,309.
That's what you think is, it should be?
That's the discrepancy.
But you were paid out at more than that.
This is what it said. Well, there's something on there for $160 for, and it, all it says is other.
Well,
on my
yes.
So on your pay stub, you're paid out at $4,369.
Right. Right.
$60 more than
this, this is right.
Right.
This
it does,
is
but we have to calculate.
Right.
We have to leave it there because
I just saw
it have to be able
but
to
it has,
show.
There was a category right. Here, other. What this $136 is, I have no idea.
I have a question on that also.
That's
$136
is
above is above what they so should be paid. That's the
have to put it in.
Why isn't that why that, isn't that speed?
That was the 4 hours of holiday pay.
That was the extra 4 hours of holiday to meet. Yes,
right. That was where
to meet the
they made a mistake and paid 4 hours additional that you didn't work.
Okay, why isn't that specified?
And just so you know,
because we have no way to specify every item.
This response from the sheriff.
They have an other category.
Yes,
my, I'm not advising. Yes, this came from the sheriff based on the advice he got. I don't believe that this is an accurate way to calculate it.
And this is less of, this is how he felt it should be calculated.
Right.
Which is actually $60 less than what he was paid out.
Okay.
Right.
But I don't know, I have no way of knowing what this other category is. That is the 100, I have no idea where that came from.
And that's actually.
Well, I did include an addition with the timesheet.
That said 4 hours other. No specification.
Right. 4 hours of the holiday to give you the 8 hours a day.
Okay, I don't get that.
No, that's
well. This is this was great. Help us follow.
I understand. Well, you got a printout that said 4 hours, and all it said other. We're adding it all over, we're subtracting it. All it said was 4 hours other.
Well, that I know. Like on our what. Our systems have offerings too, and an accounting printout puts that together. Thank you. With this being that you were paid out more than you think you were supposed to be,
I've got no problem. I've got no problem if they take away money. I just wanted to be calculated correctly.
And I appreciate that. The way these are put in here, I'm gonna agree with what you did. That's just very hard to understand because I'm struggling.
Very hard for me to understand also.
That's true.
So the other was paid holiday
four,
pay?
It was 4 hours extra, 6 hours where he worked. They added 2 hours on to bring him to an 8 hour of holiday period.
For the day?
You agree with
for the day.
It is still cloudy. The whole, what this other category that they added in, I think should be specified exactly what that is. I have no idea what that other is.
Since it's cloudy, nebulous, however you call it, I'm going to make a motion to take the grievance under advisement to consult legal counsel, then come back on record with the final decision by the labor attorney of where it should be.
I agree, because this could be far-reaching effects.
So, with that being said,
because we can spend on this, we can spend on this quite a long time.
Yes, sir.
John, you did a nice job.
Deputy Patch back when. We have that decision.
Yeah, if it works for his schedule, sure.
Gentlemen, you can or cannot. All I'm asking for is a written statement as to why this
that's
was.
That's what the council just said, too. So if we do that, we'll send this on to Woodsake and have them discuss with our council. Or would you be able to do it?
I'm starting
to
draft it, but I would.
Okay. And then we'll have something that actually comes back.
This.
And a second. Any discussion on this motion?
Not really. The only thing that I'm going to say, and we'll go to, you know, we can get the whatever. In the past, you know, we've tried to give extra, do more than, you know, so that. When you didn't work those extra hours, we continued to pay you for them on the holiday pay. With this last contract, that there appears to be some changes that were there, and it's a little bit cloudy how that changed,
Deputy,
John. But
can we have your original grievance back?
Maybe.
Just
maybe. Are you calling me a kleptomaniac?
No,
John. I mean, it's not inaccurate, but...
John just asked, and it's like, no, I don't have that. Okay.
Not that.
She really does keep track of everything you get.
She does.
Good luck.
Rick.
Yes, motion by Adam, second by Rick.
Folks, can I step out and sort out these papers and get it to the county clerk? Because right now it's a jumble.
That is my fault for giving that back to you.
I won't leave the room.
Okay, yeah. Sheriff, keep an eye on him.
Has that worked out for you, sir?
We have a motion and a second to send this to counsel for advisement with a written letter or something in writing stating what's going on and why.
Where we all understand.
And an explanation to us as well, just so we understand it. I think I'm gathering it now, though. But any additional discussion?
Well, I just want to thank John for I thought you presented yourself well. You're passionate about it, and you kept your cool. So appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries.
Thank you, folks.
Thanks, Deputy. There we go. All right, if we move down here, if I missed anything, our next item, we need to step over potential action and go into a closed session to conceive legal counsel. I haven't missed anything on there, I don't believe. So with that, I guess, Mark, come on down. You have a recommendation for us.
After reviewing the bid tabs for the concrete box culvert project, 1268 and 1271, calculations are all correct. All start and completion dates fit within the bid specs. It is suggested from the highway department to go with Gus Construction. And I did call to confirm on that typo on their start date that they had stated at 8/25 of 25. It was a typo that it needed to be 2026. Carroll, Iowa. They're the ones that the box culvert on.
Since so she'll be back in an hour. She has 3 minutes.
So.
Generally said she'd be back in an hour.
Second bid on those was about 6 months earlier, with starting and completing 5 to 6 months earlier. Was there any reason that I mean, their bid is
3 months.
April 26th start.
So 4 to August of 26th start.
Yeah, so 3 months. But we had October 1. When was our completion date?
October 15th.
October 15th. So they're right at October 15th on the second. Okay, never mind.
If you want the quicker one, I mean, that is...
Well, was there a reason that we have that would be valuable to us? Is there value in being done earlier?
Because these particular ones, I don't know that we would see any difference.
Well, I mean, you're talking about in September and October, you're talking about harvest season.
These are both load restrictive bridges that harvest truck traffic should not be driving over.
There you go.
Good night. But once they're boxes, they'll be non-restricted and they could
correct
be
used. And they can be
so they would be valuable to harvest this fall, but there's
Did we have a completion date in the contract?
Yeah.
October 15th.
So,
there with
that being said, we did, there they do it. Meet specifications. Yep. I see where you're going, Milt.
Yeah.
So, this is the company that did a box culvert for us on Pickwell Road between 110th and 120th. They came in, popped it out.
Very good contractor.
Very good contractor. Yeah.
So, I move to go with the recommendation of the highway superintendent and award this to Gus Construction.
Second.
We have a motion to award Gus Construction Round 9 CBMPs to Gus Construction as recommended by the highway superintendent. Second that, Dorn? Lytle and Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries.
6 in favor.
6 in favor. Motion carries. If you find the...
Maybe. May I approach?
Do we have that? No. Emily left without permission.
She pulled a Terry.
Terry. Don't forget that.
I won't.
We do have a closed session to consult counsel pending litigation.
Do you want to go over armor cutting?
Yes. Do you have anything else after this?
Maybe. No.
Is your recommendation on the
armor coat? When I put together my budget, I called for suggested pricings from Midwest, and their pricing at that time was significantly lower. I did pad it a little bit for that, but I'm assuming, which I know where that puts everybody, with the conflicts outside of the United States, that oil prices have shot up. So. That
would you like to rebid that at a later time, or what is your recommendation?
That is, I don't know. I really don't know what to do. We can. Right. I mean, we can finagle stuff into next year budget to help pay for this, if we could. I don't know.
What is your armor coat schedule for next year?
I'd just like to interject, and this doesn't mean it's right or wrong. You know, Terry, correct me if I'm wrong, or Eric, we've kind of got a schedule on the armor coating as to what we need to do to stay in schedule, and this is what we need to do this year to stay in schedule, correct? Okay, so... You know, just like fuel bids, there's years where we've had benefit from whatever reasons for the timing of when we bid. You could look at this and you can blame this or that action that's going on and say, maybe if we rebid this in 3 months, it's going to be better, or we wait till next year. Here's the problem. Right now, as you look, and I watch this crap way more than I should, but The thing that's going on in the Middle East right now with the Strait of Hormuz and some different things, I watch that fairly closely. Here's the thing, and I'm not an expert by any means on this. You can say that. You can say, oh, Trump says in 3 weeks this action is going to be done. Oh, and things are going to go back to normal. Most likely they're not. The Strait of Hormuz and the way things are getting backed up and some of these wells that are being shut down that won't come back online like that, this could be a multi-year issue as far as oil production and oil usage. I don't know that we want to get off schedule. It's a lot of money. It's money over what we bid, but for our road's sake and wanting to stay on top of them and on schedule, I think we need to at least take a couple weeks before saying, let's not do this. Let's take a couple weeks, evaluate it, look at it. I think we probably should move forward with sticking with this because this could be worse.
Do we have to make a statement today? Or what are you
want? We can do it in 2 weeks.
These prices won't go away within 2 weeks.
I didn't see any
What's your schedule for armor coding next year?
Another 28 to 30 miles.
Because last year we didn't do any.
We didn't do any last year. Well, we anticipated doing it last year, but the cost for armor coating went to the mill overlay for Rockford Road. Because that's what we were anticipating when we were putting out our budget, was to do a mill overlay when we got the cores.
We could have them review it, say, how's this look in your budget? Come back with...
I think we need to look at it, and if we have to find the
forms
to cover
it. What was the start date on May, right?
Both of them were May 11th. One was completing May 29th. The other one was 6-1. So
I don't know. I agree with you, Gary. I mean, especially being we backed off last year.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Well, it's hard to catch up. We all know that. Let's spoil 100 now, right now.
Yeah. Is it back up to 100?
Yeah, it's just over 100 right now.
It's over 100 right now, but I think that when things, I think it will go down at least 20% when they take care of the strait and they get the oil tankers out. It'll go down at least 20%, and that could be within the month. But it's pure conjecture.
Right.
Would they want to act on that today, or?
I think we should look at it and have more discussion in 2 weeks on it, as opposed to making a decision.
Come back to us in a couple of weeks. There's no.
I mean, these prices are going to be there in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What was the estimate to
begin with? My estimate was 450,000 that I had budgeted. Then I had put 50,000 in for painting. That would be county forces going to sweep, prep the road, and then a subcontractor would come in and paint. With these bids, I had this contractor doing all that instead of county forces, which that wasn't too far off from where I was at estimating that.
Keep in mind, Rick, even if we wait, it won't lower the prices. The bids stay firm where they are, unless we rebid. And, right.
But we can make that decision in 2 weeks. The other piece of that is that if we want to rebid outside of this timeline, you're going to be rebidding in May?
Yeah, we'll never have it done this
year. So we're not going to get, there'll be zero done this year if we rebid. So,
and there could be different prices in May.
Right, we just don't know. You don't know that, yeah.
Yeah, rock prices have shot up, oil shot up, all that was, you know,
so
before.
So Mark should have done this last year, it was half price.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
Nice work.
I did do it last year. I did 2 miles of asphalt on that Rockford Road. See.
Take a look at your budget. I suppose come back in a couple weeks. We can see. I without a rebid, nothing's going to change, so I just want to...
Yeah.
If you guys want to take action today, we can.
Well, and the other way to look at it, I guess, we save money this winter, you know, basically, not much of a winter. I think we ought to do it.
I agree.
Is there any fat in the sheriff's budget we can pull over here?
Always. I laugh.
I mean, we're going to do it in 2 weeks.
He's supposed to.
What's it do?
He's supposed to armor one of
our
patrols. There's
no difference at all. If you want to act now, we can.
Let's get it over with before we get booked.
Yeah. I mean, we need to do this this year, right? Because if you try and rebid, we're not getting it done this year.
No. Just watch our P's and Q's down there.
We'll
on certain
just
things.
Have the additional for next year on top of it.
Yeah.
So what blacktop are you planning on doing?
That would be a motion to accept
low bid from Stable Build.
So that's a motion to accept
second.
Stable, which was the low bid and recommendation of the Highway Department.
What was that bid, Mark?
$797,253.71.
He can find that in his budget. We've got plenty of extra in there. Motion by Jergens. Second by Dorn.
I'm sorry, I can't help you out anymore, Sheriff.
To approve Stable.
To answer Mr. Dorn's questions, it would be all of Pickerel Road, east and west, all of Holmesville Road from 136 down to Beeline, First Street from Dorsey all the way up to Hackberry, First or 19th, however you want to call that, Blue Springs Spur, which would be from Beeline and 59th into the Blue Springs Bridge, River Road, which would be west of Blue Springs Bridge down to Wymore Cutoff, and 51st, which would be south of Wymore Bridge down to Highway 77.
And all patching will be done.
All patching will be done prior to this.
Motion and second. Any questions, comments? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries to approve Stable as our...
Claybaugh said no.
26. Claybaugh said no? I'm sorry. 5 in favor. Claybaugh voting no. 5-1. Motion carries. To approve Stable for our 26 Armor Coat project. We do have discussed, take action on potential FOP negotiations. I think before that, we need to go into closed session, consult legal counsel. Amanda, do you want anyone to stay, or is it just, we can just have the board on this and we may take action afterwards?
Yes, I think Cam would be in this call.
Do we need Riff?
I don't know.
Do we need Sheriff?
I don't think so. Maybe we have some questions for later at some point.
Okay. Who is this for? Traffic was over.
I need to talk to him just about Saturday.
Okay.
Sheriff.
Sure.
Yeah.
I didn't want to speak that goodness, but I don't even know where it came from.
Well, it is, but
well,
not really.
Yeah.
All right. With that, for consultation of legal counsel on pending litigation, I'd like to go motion to go in closed session at 11:13. I will need a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lionel, second by Claybaugh. Please vote. 6 in favor.
No.
I'd ask for a motion to advance or make offer regarding the FOP negotiations as discussed by the board with review by Vice Chair Haxby. This will be an offer, not a negotiation, correct?
It's an offer, yeah.
All right. Any additional discussion on this offer? If not, please vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order?
You need to go.
Are you waiting on us?
I'm waiting to get a letter.
We're done with you, Sarah. Thank you. Okay. We'll be all in right. contact there. We will adjourn at 2:18.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.